You know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services. And I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. Solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her. And most of the time, it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plates. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-Commerce, the number four, solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you, solutionsforecommerce.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 163, Mitchell Lipp, a.k.a. Harvey Specter. You know, this is actually the third time I've had him on here. However, this is part of my Young Gun update. The Young Guns is a group of people. There's actually six in the group. This is going to focus on four of the younger guns, as they're called. And this name was coined. I don't know if Karen gave it or Dwayne gave it. Somebody gave them this name. And it's a group of four sellers who had a challenge of selling $100,000 at the time. And they took it to the extreme. And now they're all multi-million dollar sellers. And the update that I'm looking for from them, I asked them about the same questions, trying to get some guidance. And it's really interesting on how their businesses are the same and how they're different, yet they still work together after all these years. And I think that's the key, is they bring out the best in each other. And I think their advice is so sound. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and this is one of the four in the series that I'm doing with the Young Guns, kind of a recap, catch-up, and advice kind of thing, because I think this is a group of guys. There's four guys, four original guys, young guys, and I don't want to downplay KIB's role or Dwayne's role, but in the original four, it was the four of you guys, and what's interesting to me is that you're still together after a couple of years. And so I know there's just so much activity. You guys work so hard together and you've had an incredible year, all of you. And so I wanted to bring them back together. So this is Mitchell Lipp, a.k.a. Harvey Specter. Welcome back, Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
You were episode 57 and 123. And that's now 160-something. I mean, so you've been back a few different times. But you know, what's interesting to me is your story and the evolution and your acceleration and the continued learning. I went back and looked at the episodes that we did, you know, originally. And, you know, the distance between the two was, you know, it was almost a year. And yet you really evolved in your business. Do you think is that your nature, would you say?
Yeah, I would say not only my nature, but maybe a strength is, you know, to be adaptable. So long as I'm, I guess, interested in what's going on.
Well, that's important right there. You just said that, though. You're interested. If you were bored, this would be like, all right, I'm onto something else, right?
Yes, I'm probably the, you know, worst ally or employee or whatever if I'm bored with something or I think it's stupid.
Well, you had a great year last year, 2015, couple million bucks. You more than doubled it this past year, dude. I mean, you did more in your fourth quarter than you did the year before. You did almost as much in December as you did the year before. I just want to pause and bow to recognize that, because that's an accomplishment. That's hard work. That's some hard work.
It was a lot of hard work. I had a lot of help. In 2016, we were ready. I had the four horsemen ready to go. So I probably worked less hours and less hard this year in this fourth quarter. If I did work as hard, it was probably definitely more fun this year and definitely less stressful.
Well, you put a lot of things in place, right? I mean, that's really the key, right? You have, you know, it's process, right? I mean, you can't handle the volume you handled without process. It's impossible.
Yes. it's definitely impossible. I went from one to two prep centers this year. So we had a drop-off RA prep center, which I think we briefly discussed on the last
one. We did. Yeah, that podcast. Was a real focus of the last one with Dale. Yep.
Yeah, I'm working with Dale Selmayr out of Cincinnati, and that's been great. But, one of the reasons we did that and got that, you know, going in the summer was in preparation for the fourth quarter. And I just – you would not believe how quickly – he gets stuff turned around.
You said that. I mean, you just said that that's his thing.
We'd drop off two box trucks in a weekend, and he'd be like, sorry, man, I only got about 95% of it going out today. And it would be Monday. Oh, so, like, God. Less than 48 hours. It was just crazy.
And you know what the beauty of that is? You did not have to train him. Right? Because yes. He was in the business. He figured out that that's the part of the business he likes. He got in his state of flow with that. But you guys have worked on the relationships. So you're working on the process with him and vice versa is really about the logistics of, you know, how do you get it to him? How, you know, how frequently, all that kind of stuff. Right. And you worked on that in a summer, you said?
Yeah, just in doing what I guess what looks like now. Some really small elementary shipments in the summer that we would drop off there, or we would ship him our road arbitrage, I guess you could say, and he would handle it. But now those summer shipments look like they were just like training missions compared to what we were, you know, dropping off in the fourth quarter.
Well, did you make adjustments from, you know, it's just, I don't want to lose that point because you brought him some stuff and it probably worked okay. Did you have to go back and tweak what you were doing and vice versa? Did he end up tweaking and saying, oh, I got to get this for that? I mean, can you give us any of those clues?
Sure. Not too much. He's one of those people that, you know, and these are the types of people that you want to get into business with that, you know, if there's a small problem, he's going to handle it. He's not even going to ask me.
So he's not, you know, a siren.
He's going to take care of it. You know, and if there's a big decision that impacts my, you know, my finances or my time or something's just not working, you know, obviously then, you know, we got great communication. We'll work it out. But, you know, he doesn't call me every time there's, you know, a nick in a box asking me what I want to do. And
right.
To your point, he is a seller himself. So, you know, I get into business with people I trust. I trust his judgment for him to make those decisions for me. So, you know, those are the type of people you want to get into business with.
Hmm. So I have a series of questions and I'm going to ask all four of you. And so I want to get to them. And then you put out in a group about some questions and 8 billion of them came in, and we'll be able to talk through some of them, but you know, we will continue to have you back because I think this is a great opportunity for people to understand that you can scale. Let's be fair. You couldn't scale to the level you have by yourself. Let's just call it that, right? Let's just put that out there right now. Correct?
That's absolutely correct. Yes.
Okay. So if some guy who doesn't want to hire people, who doesn't want to partner up with people, doesn't want to give away some of his secrets, you will fail. You will not be able to do this. Okay. So let's just call it that. So that's the first thing, is that you've got to be able to partner with the right people and trust them, right? Have you, you know, I remember the story about your brother. We were together once or twice this year. We were in Nashville, I know, at that great party. Man, that was a great party, wasn't it?
Oh, that was a good party.
That was a really good party. We loved that place. And I remember you telling me about him that you were very surprised that he's actually a better buyer than you ever would have dreamed, because, you know, he knows the logistics side of the business, right? That's his thing. That's what he was working in. And yet you were surprised by that. Did you find anyone else that kind of surprised you? Because you had a preconceived notion, right? I mean, that's kind of a mistake on your part, right? You have these preconceived notions just like every other human being. And so it turned out that he was better at something that you would never have placed with him. Did you find any other ones like that?
As far as people that I've worked with?
Yeah. You know, where you like, oh, okay, I could pick this guy off. He's this, he's that. You put him in this little box, right? And boom, they come around and they surprise you.
Yeah, for Kerry, it wasn't really that he wouldn't be able to do it with the shopping. It was more that he liked it so much.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay.
And then his friend Mike started helping us, and he does everything that I'm slow at. He does it faster and better. So he became like our OA wizard, where he would call me and be like, hey, you know that item? I got it for pickup for y'all in 7 stores across 5 cities. You got to have it picked up by Wednesday. I'm like, what?
Wait. So, I mean, this is another pro tip. So you're out on the road, you and your brother or whoever else, you had somebody back at your location buying these things and having them ready. So as you're traveling to, you know, you're in Louisville, as you're traveling around in that section of town or outside of the state, stuff is sitting there for you.
Yeah.
Productive.
He would have it very, very ready with all the in-store pickups. And he would, I would tell him something to do, and he had, like, you know, 4 or 5 email accounts. He had other people he was shipping to their house, like just all this crazy stuff I wasn't expecting. I was gonna have him help with a few little things, and you know, he really took ownership of his role and then ended up helping us, you know, do some RA as we got closer to Christmas. You know, I would say I think there was a couple weekends where I was like, you know, I'm not sure how we're going to do this. We got 2 teams. I'm like, can you rent a truck? And he would just text me back, done.
He would
have the truck for the next day. It was just, so I can't thank him. I can't thank him enough. I think I briefly mentioned him as my brother's quote unquote college friend.
Yeah, I think I saw him mention his name, saying he's got to give it. What's his name again? Let's give him kudos. Come on, call him out.
It's Mike Schrader.
All right, yeah. Mike. Mike, so, well done, man. Well done, Mike.
He was a big part of what's going on. And, you know, he messaged me yesterday and he said, hey, how can I help and really push OA in the first quarter for you this year? What can I do to help? And that's just the kind of people that I'm lucky enough to have on my side. So,
well, but that's 3, right? I mean, your brother, Dale and Mike, I mean, that's 3 that you've really, but you know, you only attract those people if you put off that vibe yourself, you know, to be fair. You know, you're a pretty aggressive, competitive, so, you know, and go-getter, and just do it, right? Just get it done. Because you were using some little garage, if I remember correctly, for a long time. I mean, you were doing $1 million out of this little garage. Most people would have said, oh, I've got to have a, you know, 40,000 square foot warehouse. I mean, I've got to have teams. I need teams.
I don't like spending money on warehousing. I don't have to. I guess I learned my lesson with my November Christmas storage fee or whatever that was, though.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. I got hit with that. I haven't seen December yet, and I'm not looking forward to it. I sold a lot of stuff, so I'm hoping that it's lower. That would be nice. All right, let me ask you a bunch of questions, because I'm going to ask all 4 of you, and we're going to blow through these because I want to get to some of the questions that were asked in the groups too. So I already know how you did in 2016 versus 2015. You doubled your sales, and you doubled it from 2 to 4 million.
Almost. I was
just
probably about 95% growth.
Yeah.
Almost double.
So what did work, right? So adding help worked, right? What other things really worked? I mean, just made it flow. And we've got to be kind of rapid on these.
I was very, very focused on shoes for most of the year, and I knew in the fourth quarter I would focus on toys.
Right.
I knew how much inventory I had. I knew my access to capital, and I knew how long I had to scale up to have enough inventory, you know, to peak my inventory at the right time in the fourth quarter, so that you maximize your capital while being, you know, exposed for the least amount of time. I mean, we did a pretty good job of that. If I did anything wrong, is I probably didn't price stuff as well as I should have, as quickly as I should have. But I would guess 90% of sellers probably point the finger at themselves right now about that in Q4.
No question. And let's face it, it's a different Q4 this year than it was last year, right? Amazon did not have as much trouble moving inventory around. However, prices seem to fall a lot faster, quicker on certain things, right? And some places have figured out how to fix their inventory issues, right? There wasn't as much arbitrage opportunity because it just kept coming back in stock, right?
The thing I've noticed is Amazon's just-in-time inventory, I think that's what you were just alluding to, is amazing. A lot of times they did not run out of stock. When they would run out of stock once, they were either out, or if they came back, they'd come back in for a couple hours and it was gone. There were items this year where they ran out for about 12 hours and they never ran out again. And it was back when I first started in 2013, they were out of everything all the time. 2014, last year they got a little better. This year, I mean, they were a beast.
Right, they got a lot better.
Not much.
And, you know, let's face it, that's a sign that, guess what, this coming year, they're going to be even better, right? So that's,
absolutely,
you just got to build that in your model. And, you know, at least in my business, I find that there are things that I'm not doing anymore. And I kind of feel glad, because I just knew, you know, I use the Hess trucks as a good example. You know, I mean, it's just one of those items. Literally, I was sending mine in and I saw the posts out there talking about how, whoa, this is really, you know, the blah, 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 the price hasn't turned. I never sent them in. They're literally, there's a label sitting on the box that's sitting out on my dock. And thank God I never sent them in. And then eventually they ended up shutting it down. But that was an item that for years many of us have sold, right? And had not figured it out.
Yeah, the first I heard of it was this year.
Oh, really?
I think Mike Schroeder bought 12 of them online. And I think we sold them about a week before
the restriction.
Yeah, but that's probably because I didn't know how much I was supposed to sell them for.
You probably didn't make much money. You really couldn't have. You probably couldn't have made much money because, I mean, the price never really got up above, you know, by the time you're done with the fees. Well, but that's okay. I mean, you know, for me, it was like, okay, good. That's an item that I don't want to sell anymore. And boom, it's sitting on my dock and I'll find a place for it. So what didn't work? I mean, you mentioned about repricing. What didn't work specifically?
Oh, what didn't work? I knew I shouldn't have bought Star Shower, and I bought it anyway because I was greedy and stupid.
And they didn't sell.
No, I was selling it on the two pack.
Okay.
And I was doing okay, and then I knew it was so popular last year. I knew it was going to be overproduced, and the manufacturer got kicked off their own listing in 2015. And that's why the price went so moon in 2015. So I knew those two things weren't going to happen again. And I just couldn't help myself. I'm like, I can spend, you know, 32 on each one, 64, sell for 99, you know, make a quick, you know, $15 on 50 bundles and I'm out. You know, that was the plan. And it didn't work. The listing got shut down and, you know, I had to call them back. And That's a pretty solid hit on just stupidity. I knew better, and I did it anyway.
Yeah, it makes you a little your senses dull a little bit. As a matter of fact, it's funny you say that, because guess what I saw today? Today in a store was this huge display of half price Star Showers, and it's still full. It's still full. There looks like nobody ever bought one of them.
Yep, I knew better, and I couldn't help it.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So, what did you learn this past year? What would you say that, you know, your key takeaways that you're going to be able to take and start applying, or you probably already are applying in your business? I mean, we learned that Amazon can adapt and will.
Yeah, they can adapt. I don't know. It's really frustrating when, you know, just the rules as far as, you know, for somebody having to complain, you know, about something to get free shipping, and then that hits my metrics or anybody's metrics. Like, that's just, there's about four or five things. We don't have to go into them all right now. Just holes in the Amazon system that is very frustrating as a seller. I mean, in fact, I actually got suspended on Halloween. I don't think that's common knowledge. I was trick-or-treating with my little boy, and I was like, oh, I got suspended.
Oops.
It turns out it was a glitch in their system that suspended four people for no reason.
Well, it was more than you. There were a whole myriad of people that were suspended at that time.
I knew of about three or four, but maybe there were more. So I was suspended for about, I don't know, 12 to 24 hours. But that kind of makes you think. You're like, oh, crap.
Right. This isn't good. I've got all my eggs in this basket, and now the basket, the bottom fell out for a few days anyway. How did you get back in? Was it automatic, or did you have to try to?
Yeah, I consulted KIB, and
the voice of reason.
I let her, and there are so many people with access to my account to help with stuff. So I had her and Allison Landrum helps me with some reimbursement stuff. They looked through and didn't find anything for 18 months on what they claimed. So when I wrote my appeal, it was relatively aggressive, I guess. Like, this is not there. So turn me back on. And they did. But I also think there was, I think Cynthia Stein was involved with at least making a phone call to possibly facilitate me and the other sellers getting back in pretty quickly. But there was no, full-blown crazy back-and-forth appeal process, thank goodness, or anything like that. But there very easily could have been.
All right, so here's a question. What are you stopping doing? What are you going to stop doing that you would have done in the past? And I guess the star shower is an example. I don't know that you could stop that. You just temper it because, heck, you're an entrepreneur, You're going to take risks, right? And you just got to calculate them a little differently, right? You got to modify your formula. But what will you stop doing? Just whether you just don't like it anymore, even if you were making money at it.
I need to stop doing as much of what I really enjoy shopping, and that's why I've been so successful. But I was out today and I was just like, this is not a good use of my time right now. So just trying to find out what to get and then have other people get it. I need to do more, wholesale type of stuff just to make it easier.
Working on your business, not in your business, right?
Exactly.
That e-myth kind of thing.
Exactly. But I enjoy working in the business, and that's one of the reasons I've been so successful. So it's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. You don't want a job.
Change and adapt.
That's fear. That's my biggest fear, is I don't want to be the CEO of a small company, because that just comes with too much responsibility. That just becomes your life. And I don't know. I guess I'm at a different point in my life. I want to have a life. Did you celebrate this year? You had an incredible year. Did you stop and celebrate?
That's another thing I was thinking of. I really didn't. I probably should have.
Yeah.
I know we're planning on it in ASD in Vegas when all the young guns get together. Definitely celebrating then. But yeah, I definitely probably should have celebrated more and more with my team here.
Yeah.
But one thing about this Q4, and it seems like it happens every year, is even though it slows down in making decisions and everything, every year it seems to go faster. I said to Becca last night, I'm like, it's January. Isn't that weird? This is January now. Like, Christmas is over. It just goes so fast.
It flew. I agree with you. I think it gets faster. It seems to accelerate more and more. All right, let's do this.
There was two extra days this year, and the calendar couldn't have been more perfect for having the most good selling days.
No question.
Christmas on a Sunday is by far the best structure of a week. So it really couldn't have gotten any longer, but it still seemed like it just flew by.
You know, the other thing, there was some inclement weather across the country. You know, there was some snow in that, but nothing like in some of the other years that affected, you know. And we also didn't have the shipping docks, remember? You know, there was a big shipping at the California docks last year. All those different things made it a pretty smooth, I mean, a really smooth fourth quarter.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break. Remember, we're going to accelerate because we got a million questions, and I'm not going to get to them all, but I'm going to get a few of them in there, some meaty ones. I have some questions about next year that I want to get to because, again, I want to ask the other fellows the same questions. We'll be right back. It's a great time to take a break. I want to talk about Andy Slammons, and he's back with his best private label training yet. If you haven't participated, because it's only open for a little bit and he closes it, this one's going to be his best one yet. It's complete. It's the whole process that'll help you build your very own brand. And I think that's what you got to start thinking about. You are trying to build a brand. It's amazingfreedom.com, amazingfreedom.com, where you're going to learn how to find a product, how to source the product, how to find the manufacturer, how to negotiate with suppliers. These are all critical things. How to run PPC sponsored ads on Amazon. Does that sound foreign to you? Well, it's not going to after this. How to import, how to get ranked number one in search. That's the biggest deal. I mean, you got to get ranked, right? That's what you got to do. And then we're going to try and drive some traffic to your listing. How do you do that? Well, what's really exciting this time is Andy Slammons and Leron Hirschkorn, both million-dollar sellers of private label. They're going to teach you how to do all of that. I've personally spoken to a number of Andy's students that are crushing it. You've heard some of them on my show. You've heard them tell their success. They credit the one-on-one attention that you get from the course. You have questions, you get answers. And that's what you really need to do. So it's amazingfreedom.com, amazingfreedom.com. Check it out. You're going to find out how to private label for your business. This is a business you are growing, a brand, and that's what they're going to help you do. Andy Slammons, amazingfreedom.com. Tell them I sent you. Man, what a great guy. What a lot of knowledge. And in this segment, we're going to spend some time talking about what he's going to do in 2017. It's hard, you know, it's hard to top, you know, a great time, a great moment. And what does that mean? Do you need more sales? As he says, I'm not sure I'm going to grow more. I think I'm going to optimize more. And that's a lesson, right? Once you hit that level that you know that will give you the income you want, now you got to go figure out how to sharpen and get it to where you're getting the most from it with the least amount of effort. And then remember, stuff is going to fall off. So you always want to be refilling that funnel, right? And so there's something new falling in place. That's what you do when you start to get into that maturity phase of the business. You'll be able to start working on your business. And it's so critical that you pull yourself out of the business so you can work on it. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Mitchell Lipp, a.k.a. Harvey Specter. And we just talked about, you know, 2016. And there's a whole bunch of questions that we're asking. And we're going to get to some of those too. But I want to get my questions in because I have these questions. I wanted to do a recap of the Young Guns this time of year because, A, I love to be inspired. But I still love the fact that the four of you, well, the six of you, still work together. I mean, the fact that you still are working towards, you're competitive, but yet you will tell Goose to get off the couch and get to work, right? There's no question. I love that. He's such a great guy. Oh, man, he's such a great guy. All right, so what are your plans for 2017? This is a broad, you know, kind of easy question, but, you know, you've got to have, I'm sure you've thought about it. What are you thinking that you're going to do? I mean, I know in the pre-show you said, hey, I'm not sure I'm going to go in growth mode anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm going to retire from full-blown growth mode. Sometimes it seems like the more sales you have or the bigger you get, I like to talk about, like, I'm just hemorrhaging cash. I got all this stuff I'm paying for, especially when you're growing. No. You know, there's some things I'd like to actually take money out of the business for, you know, personally coming up. So if I can maintain, you know, and not put every single cent back in and pull a little out, that means you're not in full-blown growth mode. So I think that might be a little bit for 2017 of what we may do.
Do you have financial statements, strong financial statements? I mean, are who's doing that for you?
I do a lot of it myself.
Okay.
And then I work with an accountant. I'm more good at the financial than actually the accounting ones.
Okay, so the cash flow projections and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's your thing. But I mean, like, are you looking at, you know, are you getting a profit and loss statement every single month, or are you really not concerned about it as long as your cash is in flow and you're using it and you're generally winning more than losing?
I don't get it every single month.
Okay.
I try to get that done every single month, but it doesn't. But I do look at it month by month. So.
Okay. So let me ask you the same question about your plans for 2017 for your health. What are you going to do there? Is that an issue?
My health.
Yeah. I mean, you're in good shape. I mean, but, you know, I mean, are you going to do anything?
Say it's an issue, but I have thought about it because the boys are getting old enough that I'm going to have to do something if I'm still going to be able to, you know, not that I can't beat them or compete with them, but once we get to, like, you know, the score is 4-3 and we're playing a basketball game to 11, I'm tired. So I definitely need a little more endurance in my.
So that's probably that celebrate thing, right? It's a little more, taking a little more you time, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then we also in the last, I think 2 months ago, we hired a chef. So we get, you know,
that was one of the questions. So somebody wants to know about the chef. So tell us about that. Go ahead. Tell us about that.
It's actually my investor's daughter.
Okay.
Just graduated, from university in dietetics. So she cooks for us twice a week and brings the meals over, and it's been great. I pay her well, but I'm still coming out ahead versus you know, having to outsource food to restaurants.
Well, that's no good. I mean, outsourcing to restaurants, right? You don't have any control. Sure. I mean, is she trying to help you 2 days a week have a good diet? Is that what the goal was?
No, the goal is just to have food whenever we're hungry.
Okay, as opposed to pizza in a box or crap like that, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'd say her stuff is we have healthy choices, and we have, you know, pasta. I like the kids like pasta, and it fills them up, and it's easy for dad to make when mom's not home. So, you know. Okay.
All right, cool. I like that. So that was an investment into your, maybe the health of your relationship, right? And then, you know, just in your family, right? Because that takes the pressure off your wife. I mean, so that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, my last question for you, because I got a million of these other ones I want to get to, but my other question that was just in my mind, will you continue to invest in other partnerships? And if so, what will you invest in those partnerships? Now, I know that you've hired well, you're probably paying them well, so that's part of it, right? But, you know, it's usually a quid pro quo, and it's usually more than just money, right? There's you have to invest, right? To be a young gun, you can't just take. You have to invest back in those relationships. So what do you invest and what will you invest more?
Well, I'll continue to make new relationships. I mean, this year, the rest of the young guns do toys. Agusta's toys, but I mean, toys aren't really Matt and Todd's,
right?
You know, bread and butter. I worked a lot with John Cleeter. Mm-hmm. You've had him on your show. Mm-hmm. Down in Tennessee. I mean, he knows toys better than me. And
he is the Lego kingpin. Yeah, he really does.
So, I mean, I worked a ton with him. I mean, I met him in Vegas at ASD, and you know, we've had a good relationship. And then, when I make relationships with people, I just you know, I try to be easy to do business with, you know. So, you know, whether that means, you know, paying your bill on time or just simple stuff like that. Like, I had a bunch of people all over the country, you know, getting Hatchimals for me. Mm-hmm. Or I would put it out there that I would buy them. Well, they would.
And you paid a premium for them, correct?
I did pay a premium for them.
And, so they did the work. They got them. They sent them to you. You paid them quickly, I'm sure. And then you sold them. Someone asked a question. Did that work out for you?
Oh, yeah. It worked out. It worked out great. Yeah. I mean, I think I had more than, you know, Target, Walmart, and Toys R Us's warehouses combined probably the second week of December.
I was going to say, I think you probably had the majority of the Hatchimals this year sold.
Yeah. Well, I think Daniel Baker had more than me, but I mean, he's a beast unto himself. So
okay.
I don't feel bad coming in second to him.
So, you're 1.5 million in December. Majority of it was toys, or I mean, when you have a big shoe inventory, you're still selling shoes. Shoes sell all year long, right? So, I mean, especially at Christmas, people buy shoes, you know, as gifts and stuff. But what percentage of your sales would you say are toys versus shoes?
In December, it was 85 to 90% toys.
Okay, so 95% toys. And so I'm just going through some of these questions. Your method to spend money so fast, right? So you're buying huge quantity. I think I saw that your goal was to ship, or you did ship 235 items a day. Was that correct?
Oh, no. It was way more than that. That number was from, we were talking about some of the numbers in the group, and there were some people that were like, oh God, how do you do that? Or that's impossible, or those numbers are fake, or, you know, whatever. And so I put the 225, I think it was,
something like that,
per day.
Right.
And if you multiply that times 365, that's how many items I sold for the year. So if you break down the sales figure, you know, into you just had to ship 225 items a day, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
But that sounds a lot easier than selling $4 million.
Right. And 40% of it, 40% of that sold in 1 month. Right. So you weren't shipping 225 in January, right? You were shipping, you know, 800 or 1,000 in November, October, November, right? I mean, that's the only way you can get to it. Right. So it's really skewed. So it's easy to look at it. Yeah, I say that about me shipping. I ship 2,000 items, and it's when you break it down, it's only 35 items a week. It's not a big deal, right? Out of my warehouse, MF. But, you know, there are weeks where you're shipping, you know, 80 or 90, and there are weeks you're shipping 12, you know? So, yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
Okay. So, let's see. And I saw that about the 1,000 a minute spent on Black Friday. That's crazy, right? You said that was not what it was. Okay.
No, I figured out where that came from.
Okay.
That came from, we were discussing, there was some post somewhere we were discussing, I don't know if it was merchant fulfilling and things. And I was like, that sounds great, guys, but I'm going to sell enough that I'm going to have a sale a minute in the fourth quarter. So 24 times 60. So whatever that number is, I don't remember what it was, but it's like 1440 maybe.
Yeah, sounds right.
I'm like, I'm going to sell for 2 weeks. I'm going to sell an item a minute. And there is, I don't care who you are, you can't fulfill an item a minute. That's crazy. Like just when you think about the logistics of tapping into Amazon, being able to fulfill an item a minute, even for, you know, 100 sellers, let alone, you know, thousands upon thousands, and then all their own inventory. It's just of mammoth proportion, the fulfillment logistics, you know, that you can tap into. So that was my point, was you know, I'm going to be needing an item a minute fulfilled. So that means I sold an item a minute. I think that's where that spending $1,000 a minute came from. That was definitely not true.
Well, that makes sense, though, what you're saying. And you know, thinking about that, you have two prep centers, one who specifically does RA for you, correct? Does he do any OA primarily at all, or is he primarily RA for you?
I sent him a little bit of OA, only for two reasons. If an address was blocked, I would send it to him.
Right, makes sense.
And if when it was getting later in December, I would send it to him because he was closer to the prep center that stuff was, the Amazon FBA center that stuff was going to.
That makes a lot more sense. So having two, there's a value. There's another little piece of value having two prep centers, right? So if one gets flagged as a common address, you can't use it. The other one can take it, right? Second one, were you real clear with Dale saying, hey, I'm adding another one? It doesn't show a reflection on you. It's just that I need more help. I mean, is that a relationship that you worry about? I mean, it's an important partnership in essence, really. I mean, it's not just a, you know, buy a service. This is, hey, you know, he really cares about your business, right?
Yeah. Well, I had the other prep center, Matt and Todd's prep center in Delaware.
Oh, okay.
Is what
right.
I use primarily.
Me too.
I actually used that before Dale. They both started last spring, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's no issue there. He understands the advantage of tax-free Delaware.
Has that really worked well for you, the tax-free Delaware thing?
It has. It's worked very well for me.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So here's someone saying they did 1.5 million. What extra steps did you take to get to the level you're at? I think we kind of already addressed that, right? So he mentions in about two prep centers. He's talking about sending all his OA to a tax-free state. That's a great, you know, that's really tough. How do you manage your OA? You brought somebody on, Mike, right? I mean, there's a lot of logistics to buying a lot online and receipt management and purchases and coordination, right? That's a lot of work. Is he able to handle most of that for you?
Yeah, he did a great job.
Okay, there's your answer. There's your answer. He brought somebody on to help him. Because could you do that in addition to all the rest that you're doing well?
No, I very rarely get anxiety, but when I'm checking out online for an OA order, I get it.
Okay.
I hate it.
Okay, that's good. You hired somebody who, to me, I'm telling you, that's smart. You're hiring somebody to do the stuff you don't want to do, but you see the value in still doing it. Most people would walk away from it. You're still doing it. You just hired somebody to do it. Here's another question. How are you paying out to keep your other buyers striving for the top? It seems the owners will always work the hardest, and that's true, because you got a vested interest in your success. Let's face it, right? Feeding your kids is kind of important, getting that chef. But I feel like we get 2 to 3 more work, even 75% of the output that my dad and I have, but to get to much higher level. So he wants to try to get more work out of his, or keep them motivated to go to do more. How do you keep, your brother, you know, has a vested interest, but how do you keep Mike inspired and encouraged for this? I mean, is it because he's loving, you found a role for him that puts him in his state of flow?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is picking the right people, and sometimes that means, you know, giving them a chance. But I mean, he just really took ownership of the role to where he thought it was fun. So yeah, I paid him very well. I think he would be very, very happy with what he was paid. But I don't think he just did it for the money, or at least not after, you know, the first, you know, month or so. I think
right, because it gets hard. I'm sure he hit a roadblock and he got through it. That's pretty cool.
Saw it as like, you know, a game. I know he saw it as a game as far as product acquisition and things like that. Game and a battle and whatever you wanna say, and you know, it becomes a competition and it's fun.
So somebody mentions about your whether you take credit and you take Amazon loans. Mitchell takes credit. Him and I've had this discussion a couple of years ago, right? Where were we? We were in were in Kentucky, weren't we? Or Texas, somewhere we were talking about
been.
And, you know, you're not afraid to use money to help you grow your business, correct?
Not at all. No.
All right. So you bring an investor on, and this is not a new investor. This is somebody you've been working with for a couple of years.
Since 2014.
I mean, think about that. That's, you know, 3 years. That's a pretty cool thing. So yes, he takes credit. I'm not going to ask him how much. Do you take Amazon loans?
I took one this year in October.
Okay. Would you take it again?
I took half of what they offered.
Would you take it again?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing that's interesting though, is a lot of people relax in January. Like, oh, I'm going to go on vacation. But I'm really big on, like, compounding of funds and resources. Mm-hmm. And you have such a cash windfall.
Right.
At the end of December. Like, I feel like January is probably the second or third most important month of the year.
Well, it's cheap
to
buy.
To get all that cash in action.
Right. I mean, let's face it. You can buy right now.
Yeah. To get it all back in action fast is another daunting task.
Hmm.
But don't sleep on January. I know I never have.
Well, here's a question that somebody asked, and I think this is a good question. And I think you kind of told me this privately, but have you increased your return of investment or profits per ASIN over the years or months? If so, how? I think that's where you're saying, hey, I might be scaling back my growth mode and more working towards optimization, right? I mean, is that really where you plan to work on, or were you able to attain some of that this year?
I was able to attain some of that this year. I would say I was able to be more profitable in my processes, but I was probably less profitable in my, I spent more money to outsource, whether it be to, you know, the prep centers. I tried to outsource more stuff, or to, you know, hiring additional help.
So you bought yourself time. That's what you always tell me, Steve. You got to buy time, right? You bought time.
Yes.
So you took some of those profits and invested them in those things to buy yourself time. And you said, this was your words, that you probably worked less this year or less hard this quarter, this fourth quarter, yet you did the same. You did more sales in your fourth quarter than you did the whole previous year. That's a big statement. That just didn't happen.
We were talking about 2014. The investor and I would be up prepping at like 3, 4, 5 in the morning, like every night. And he has a full-time job. Because back then I didn't know any better. Like we would bag, we polybagged everything, like board games. I mean, you name it, I polybagged it. I thought that was the way to do it, and it's really not. I get less complaints now than I did then when I bagged everything. So you kind of learn exactly what you should be doing.
Right. There's certain things that you're going to have to do it for, right? To make perfect sense, right? But like you're saying, board games, you don't have to. Here's a good question. How do you keep yourself so focused and motivated? And let me expand on a little bit. For so long, right? I mean, everybody can get there when things start rocking, right? I mean, you can get into that state of flow. But how did you do it, you know, for the last 3 years, in essence? I mean, that's pretty tough to keep doing it.
Yeah, a couple of things. I've just never really, you know, I've had some good jobs. I mean, I went to medical school and dropped out, but I never really was able to find what I really wanted to do. And I mean, there were some low times, you know, without jobs and things like that, probably within the last 5 years, you know, where I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I could do anymore. And I really didn't have much money. So I guess I've kind of been to the bottom as far as financially and as a member of the workforce. So, you know, now I like what I'm doing. I'm good at it. And, you know, I'm just able to, you know, keep playing angry, if you will, or, you know, whatever. It's fun. I don't know if I have an answer that can be, you know, transferable to somebody else to either be motivated or stay motivated or, you know, get to a goose level, you know.
But that's what Gary Vee always says. It's like, you know, I can't help motivate you. I mean, you've got to self-motivate yourself. If you can't motivate yourself, that's a different issue. You better deal with that.
But I also understand the people that can't get motivated or that have trouble, because I was there, you know.
Why? Why were you there?
I was bored with my career or what I'd, you know, been doing, you know, in the past. I wanted to do something, you know, that I liked and didn't dread going to.
Would you always get bored? I mean, when you start something and you go guns blazing, are you one of those guys that gets bored relatively quickly with most things? And if so, I have a question.
Probably.
I have a follow-up question. Yeah. That's why I'm asking, if for a reason.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how, I guess you figured out, I mean, this is 3 years. You don't seem bored with it.
I'm not. Yeah. I don't know why, but I can definitely attribute a lot of success to not being bored.
It's interesting. I mean, it's just, I would love to get somebody to figure that out, because it's interesting. You're kind of AD, you know, all around, right? And
I feel like there's other people like that, though.
Yeah, no, I do.
Stay
I agree.
Motivated by this.
It's
so
a high.
I don't know if it satisfies some, maybe it satisfies some part of the brain, like that, that's satisfied by, like, you know, gambling or video games or something, to where it.
You're a gambler, right?
I don't know.
You're a gambler.
Absolutely, I'm.
I've been with
I'm
you.
I'm a gambler when I think I have an advantage. I'm not a compulsive gambler.
No, I get it.
I'll certainly gamble when I have an edge, I think.
Here's somebody asking you to be a futurist. What are your predictions for the top three developments affecting Amazon sellers in 2017? So put on the crystal ball or get the crystal ball out. What do you think are going to be three developments? I know there's going to be change. I can tell you that. That'll be one. What do you think?
Yeah. Wow. You know, I'd like to think it's going to be the year of the seller. I think maybe they're going to recognize that they're doing some things that, I mean, Amazon made $1 million off of me this year. My fees are over $1 million.
Wow.
And when you think about, they already have all that in place, right? So it costs them money to fulfill my products, store my products, everything. But I mean, just like in our businesses, everything for them is already in place. So a lot of that $1 million for them, they're going to have all that stuff in place anyway already, right? They didn't build a new warehouse just for me.
Right.
So that's a very profitable $1 million. So hopefully, you know, when I look at the pool of sellers of the people I knew in 2014 and where they are now, like I knew maybe $3 or $4 million sellers in 2014. And I'm like, okay, I want to be David Hawkins or, you know, right, whoever else. And now, I mean, in usually
hundreds
in the rooms that I'm in at the conferences, it's over half of the room is $1 million.
Yeah. It's like, hundreds of them now. I personally know hundreds.
At some point, there's gotta be some kind of collective, I don't know if it's power or bargaining chip or voice that I would hope even, you know, the $150 billion company Amazon will listen to us, that we're not just trying to take, but we're trying to make the system better for everybody. So like hopefully, you know, maybe it'll be the year of the seller. Maybe we'll get through on some of the, what I call the leaks or the loopholes where the bots attack us when, you know, we're not doing anything wrong.
Well, because I think, you know, for the most part, now this isn't perfect, but generally, it was a pretty good year for sellers, right? As your sales have gone way up, you've made more money. They're definitely, I'm sure you've been shut down in certain listings, right? Heck, you got suspended. You had challenges and things, and there were glitches. But generally speaking, it was a pretty good year for sellers. So I think that's a good call, and I think you're right on that it will continue to get better for the sellers who follow and do the right things, right? You know, and I think that's the key, is you got to do the right things. Let me see. I thought there was one more I really liked, and I wanted to make sure that I was respectful. People put down a lot of questions, and I really appreciate it. I don't want to pepper you too much. Well, is there, five products. I don't want to get too personal on that. That's a private conversation. You should message Mitchell and he'll share with you. He's that kind of guy. I know he is. Or sit with him and have a drink. I'll be with him in Vegas, and I guarantee you we'll sit and have a beer. I'll have a beer. He'll have something a little more adult. And we will talk. And you know what? It's always an amazing time, because I walk away smarter, and I just get blown away for it. And, you know, all I have to do is put yourself out there. I like your answer on the 100 duck size horses or one horse size duck. Let's see the breakdowns. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, this is a good question. This is really a good question, because I was thinking about this too. What do you do with inventory that hasn't moved in 3 months? So you're pumping through a huge volume of stuff. Not all of it sells, correct? It's a pretty safe assumption.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with this massive quantity of inventory that you've accumulated?
I've actually been doing a better job at that. I have an uncle that handles all my returns.
Oh, cool.
I have it sent to my folks' place up in Ohio. So he goes through all my returns, and they'll sort them into donate, flea market, and send back to FBA. So,
oh, that's awesome. That's,
as far as a return, that's what we do there.
How do you compensate them, if you don't mind me asking? I think it's a powerful idea.
I pay him hourly.
Okay, so you put him on, but he doesn't have to be anywhere near you. And again, there's that judgment trust, right? You show him a few times, here's what you need to do. This quality has to be this, blah, blah, blah. And right. And is he actually looking into your account or whatever to look at sales rank and stuff like that?
No, my mom does that.
Oh, okay. So yeah. She helps there too. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's a really cool idea. And that takes it off your plate completely.
Yeah, and they love it because they're retired, so it's fun for them, and they make a little bit extra money, and they feel like they're helping, and they really are. So it's kind of a triple win. To answer the question, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty shoe heavy during the year, so I buy shoes that, you know, I plan to sell within 90 days. I usually don't go much over that, but there are certainly shoes that don't sell within 90 days, and you know, I'm not in a capital position where I just need to cut prices, and shoes aren't very responsive to, you know, the elasticity of price anyway. So I rarely, quote unquote, blow out shoes because it's pretty hard to do even if you lower the prices. So, you know, I'm aware of what moves and what doesn't move. And, you know, I probably have more trouble with stuff going stranded and forgetting to look when stuff's stranded for no reason. I probably have, you know, more leaks there than I do as far as slow moving inventory that's actually available for sale, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense, especially at the volume you're doing. When you're bringing in that many SKUs, because these are not wholesale items where you're replenishing. These are one-offs. So you've got tens of thousands of SKUs, I assume, right?
I don't have tens of thousands. I think I have, last count was like maybe 6,200.
Okay, so 6,200. But you probably went through 10,000, right? You probably don't have any more.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Right. And somebody asked, I think this is a good place to end it. They asked about, you know, how do you plan and allocate spending to do enough buying to hit your numbers? Now, you said that that's part of the business. You really enjoy that cash flow projection, the inventory levels, and monitoring and maintaining that. And then you just say, okay, Steve, I need you to get me 300 pairs this week, or I need you to spend $10,000 this week on profitable inventory, right? Is that kind of how it goes?
Is the question based more for the fourth quarter or for in general?
Well, they're basically asking, how to hit your numbers, right? So I think you can do it as a general comment first. So the specific question is this. I don't want to read into it. I mean, more than we can, but how did you plan and allocate spending to do enough buying to hit your numbers? For example, did you have things like weekly/monthly spending goals per supplier? Well, we know you don't really do suppliers, but you could do it per store. Or was a large percentage of spending done on the fly?
I really don't have spending goals or spending limits. If the inventory is there, we'll buy it.
Will you buy it all?
I'd probably buy it all more than I should, actually.
Okay. Okay. So you're not afraid to go deep, and deep in shoes could be, 50 pairs, depending on the type of shoe it is.
No, I've never went 50 deep in a shoe.
Okay.
I've never done that, no.
Okay.
Maybe 8 would be the max per shoe.
Per size?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. Per variation?
Yes. Shoes have correlated risk. We've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm definitely risk averse for shoes, and I caution other people to not only be risk averse, but to really understand the risks and correlation of those risks and such. But as far as fourth quarter, I mean, I know what my normal inventory level is. I had a good estimate on what my access to cash was going to be, and so I set out a calendar. You know, that if we can, you know, we basically need to spend and ship $10,000 a day, whether we spend zero or $100,000 in a day online or retail from, you know, October 1st to about November 21st. And if we do that, we'll, you know, maximize the utility of our capital. And
did you think those sales would bring you, Mitch?
Say that again.
What did you think that those sales would be, give you. So you gave a real specific example. Your goal was to spend, you know, to send in $10,000 worth of retail for 51 days, correct?
That sounds about right.
Okay, so that's, you know, 500 and some odd thousand, but you're doing it every day and you want to, you know, just keep accelerating, right? So what did you expect me to sell?
I expected to sell about 160,000 more than I sold. And I put that on me for pricing. Is that the question that you're asking?
Yeah, I don't think I understood it. So your goal was, I think I actually might have messed it up. So were you trying to spend $10,000 or send in the retail selling price of $10,000 per day?
It would have been my cost.
Okay, see, I blew this up. Okay, so and let's just assume it's a third, right? We'll make it math because that's what you're basically saying. So $10,000 with the retail value of probably around 30,000, is that reasonable?
I'd say less.
Okay,
I'd 23 to 26.
Okay,
to
so 25 would probably be the average then, right? So spend 10, knowing that you'll get 25. Every day for 52 days straight to maximize what you have available for sale based on the criteria, based on all those things. And so you had to find a way to make sure you had $10,000 available every one of those days. So if somebody would sit back and do the math backwards, they could say, okay, 1,000 would equal 2,500 in his example. So if you only have access to 1,000, you can multiply it that way. If you have 2,000, you can multiply it to get to 5,000, right? And I think that that's a really strong formula, proven this past year because you had an incredible year. Do you see yourself replicating that piece of it? Because it seemed to work pretty well.
Yeah, we'll replicate that piece of it. The only caution I would say is I don't necessarily think that you should back engineer that, because if you have, you know, 1,000 a day versus 10,000 a day or even less, I wouldn't recommend those sellers loading for the fourth quarter until mid-November at the earliest. I would recommend them, you know, trying to turn their money over in fast-moving things, you know, two or three times. I find the newer sellers load for fourth quarter way too early.
Way too early. I've heard people say
way more money if they just turn their money over at, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60% ROI three more times and try to load, you know, for the fourth quarter.
And put it on a pallet in their warehouse and let it sit, oh, I'm buying for the fourth quarter. Now, I mean, unless it's pennies on the dollar, it really is not a smart move in many cases.
I completely agree.
You know, although, you know, I've been known to buy, you know, Christmas clearance, you know, inflatables from the Home Depots of the world and places like that, you know, because you're buying them on, you know, 8 to 10 cents on the dollar this time of year. So I have done that. I didn't do it this year, but I have done it in years past.
Well, you're in
a
different spot, though. I mean, you're a partner, and you've had a great career, and you have a warehouse.
Yeah, I could store.
So it just depends on, you know, I was speaking more to like new sellers that are just trying to build their capital. For you, that absolutely makes sense. I
didn't do it this year. I thought about it, and I'm just like, I'm not hot on it. And if I'm not interested, it's kind of funny because I'm kind of like you. If I'm not interested in it, I'm just not doing it. You know, I'm just like, hey, I want to do the, I really want to enjoy it. You know, if I'm not enjoying it, I'm just going to pass. I could make money at it, but, you know, I'm just going to pass. Okay, I think we've beat the horse. I think I've gotten through generally most all the questions. There were some very, very specific ones, and I suggest, again, you message Harvey, is what his Facebook name is, to ask him those questions. I love the year of the seller. I think I'm going to use that. I think that's really powerful. I think that's a really smart, I think it's a smart observation. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of power. You know, it doesn't hurt that Walmart is now trying to entice sellers to move over there, right? So now you have some utility, right? There's some value to you, because if they made $1 million on you and you move over to Walmart and Walmart makes the million, that's not good, right? So I think that this will start to, you know, some competition is pretty healthy sometimes. And so I'm hopeful for that, but I love it. You're open for, somebody has a question. A lot of these, Harvey's background and stuff is in episode 57 and 123. So number 57 and then 123. And this is such a great continuation of the success story of the Young Guns. Again, we didn't get to talk about the boys and the relationship, boys and KIV, but you know, that strength in that group is just probably one of the most powerful things. Wouldn't you say? I mean, they bring out the best in you, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. We have a lot of things in common, and we're diverse enough that, you know, I always say, you know, Dwayne kind of keeps the conversation going, you know, and then a Goose is, you know, kind of crazy, and, you know, KIB kind of keeps us on task.
Keeps you all out of jail, right? That's what her role is.
And then, you know, Todd's always on vacation.
Yeah, those guys are just killing it. You know, I just can't wait. Every time I see them, I'm just always at the edge of my seat, just like taking it in, like I'm blown away. And yet they're just so just casual about it, you know, just like, oh yeah, just, you know, bought a tractor trailer load of X. I'm like, what?
I know.
You know, and it's true. It's not untrue. I mean, it's true. So. Well, man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see what happens in 2017. I really appreciate you being generous with specific answers for people. I know they had a lot of questions, and I really appreciate you being so generous with your time. Can't wait to see you in Vegas, and man, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, we'll celebrate, Stephen. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Enjoy it. Bye-bye.
Great new sponsor, Feedback Genius. You know, the holiday shopping season is the most profitable time of year. This is when we have everything right. As an Amazon seller, we've got our listings right. We've got inventory in the warehouse. Everything's polished, ready to go. But if you're not following up with shoppers with automated emails, especially when you're selling the volume you are, you're leaving seller feedback and product reviews on the table. This is valuable stuff. Feedback Genius is the premier automated Amazon messaging system. It sends messages based on actual order events. That's a big deal. There's no guessing when to send a targeted email. It just automatically happens. It arrives in the shopper's inbox. It's a great system. Get started 30-day. They're giving us 30-day free trial. Feedbackgenius.com. You got to use the code MOMENTUM. Go to feedbackgenius.com/momentum, and you're going to get 15 extra day on your free trial. So that's 45 days and 500 bonus messages you can use at any time. Tell Jeff and the guys I sent you. That's 45-day trial. I love that. Thank you, guys. Use the code MOMENTUM, feedbackgenius.com, MOMENTUM. Man, I love this series. So this is the first of four for the Young Guns series. I'm probably going to follow up with Dwayne at the end. I recently had Karen KIB on, so I'm not going to bring her back for this series. But I might bring him in to give me kind of a synopsis of the group. I don't know how it works together. You know, the dynamics are, I think Dwayne is probably going to be a good judge of how it works. And I think we can all learn something from it. But this is episode one of the four, and there's a great one coming up. I'm really excited. Actually, the next three are really strong. And, you know, Harvey or Mitchell, I mean, he just blew me away. So get ready for more Young Guns. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.